Welcome to the Best of Our Knowledge. Your hosts are Dr. Judy Genshaft and Glenn Busby.
Hello, I'm Judy Genshaft.
And I'm Glenn Busby. Coming up on today's program, Judy, we're celebrating a milestone of sorts. This is our 400th show, so congratulations to you and to us.
That means the Best of Our Knowledge has been on the air for nearly 8 years. Thank you to all our listeners and our supporters. What's our first story?
It's that time of year again. We look at how Champlain College successfully places so many of its graduates into jobs.
It's also time for high school senior graduation. We'll hear about some unique senior projects in Kentucky.
Our education research story is on tutoring and comes from Temple University.
And we'll meet the Zucchini Brothers, Pied Pipers who deliver positive messages to kids with interactive songwriting workshops and concerts.
These stories coming up on this week's edition of The Best of Our Knowledge.
The Best of Our Knowledge is made possible by grants from the Spencer Foundation and the University at Albany Foundation. The University at Albany, marking more than 150 years of public higher education, research, and service.
It's that time of year when college graduates are worried about their futures. Job security is a thing of the past, and many companies are downsizing. A business revolution is underway, and today's graduates need to improve their survival skills. Champlain College in Burlington, Vermont, has developed a program it calls Business Boot Camp. Glenn talked with Champlain College President Roger Perry.
President Perry says today's job market has changed, probably due to the internationalization of business. Because the business climate is so competitive, employers expect new employees to start producing right away. He says Champlain College is a no-nonsense, structured institution. It offers small classes, personalized programs, and thousands of free tutoring hours each year.
But the boot camp notion is important because we strongly believe that we know what kind of curriculum students need. We work very closely with businesses and other organizations within the area and around the country trying to really get a very, very good handle on the latest skills and the way of thinking that is so important today. And to follow up on that, in the curricular area, what that means is that we review every program every 3 years by talking with our graduates and their bosses. And then we take a look at evaluations of faculty every semester by the students. We give midterm grades. We give warnings if you're not doing well. To go from year two to year three at the college, you automatically go ahead only if you have a 2.7 grade point average or better. And what we really are trying to say is that you need to take responsibility for your life, that we have a very good program here, and if we work together, we can really get the job done. But it's not a laissez-faire approach whatsoever. It's really much more structured than many other institutions.
Perry says Champlain is a college that believes in blending theory with practice.
We believe that you need to have a good understanding of the practical side of what you're studying within the classroom. So in the classroom, we really provide a lot of practice sets, a lot of simulations, a lot of work groups to get the tasks done that you're going to be expected to do later on. And then about 80% of our programs also require internships. So what we try to think of our overall strategy, if you will, is do a lot of practice where it's safe within the classroom and then begin to move to on-campus interns and then move to off-campus interns where you're working in that particular setting that you have been training for. So I think people are very well grounded in terms of the theory as well as the practice.
Champlain offers the traditional student internships, but not always in traditional settings.
And we have affiliates that can be summer-long, for example, with Disney down in Florida. Students from our travel and tourism program, our other hospitality programs, will get into full summer interns there. And what we have done is done the traditional semester interns, but also we've worked very hard lately on entire summer which a lot of people would say summer jobs, but in this case, there's an academic component which is monitored very closely by faculty in terms of setting up criteria with the employers ahead of time and then monitoring that very closely. So we do that with Sheraton and Radisson and some of the airlines, Pete Marwick and the accounting side, and it seems to be really a big plus for our students.
97% of graduating seniors who seek employment find jobs within 4 months of graduating. This doesn't just happen.
Obviously, career placement is extremely important with the 97% that we have and are very proud of, but it doesn't come without a lot of deliberate work. We have 6 full-time people in career planning and placement, and they work with the students right from the very first semester in terms of getting them ready for how you approach the job market, what you need to know and the skills you need to develop when you're on campus in your program. And then as they go forward, they clearly work with them on interviewing skills and how you approach employers, the kinds of letters you need to write and so forth. But again, it's a practice set ahead of time so that you have the opportunity to make the mistakes in a safer environment. And in fact, again, it's one of our no-nonsense approaches where that department has to report annually at the trustee meeting in October every single graduate, their position, their company they're working with, and the salary range they're working within. And we use that as the driving force.
College President Roger Perry says the success at Champlain has caused them an overflow of applicants. If you'd like to contact them for more information about their business boot camp, their website is champlain.edu.
High school seniors across the country are finishing up work leading to their graduation. In many schools, this might include a research paper or similar project. But seniors at a rural Kentucky school are required to do more in order to receive their diplomas. Ron Smith has the report on this unique program and how one student is meeting the requirement.
To graduate from South Laurel High School, students must complete both parts of a 2-part senior English course. They get 1 credit for passing English 4 and 1 credit for meeting the requirements of what's called the Senior Project. The project challenges students to do something they've always wanted to do but never had the time. Since the Senior Project began 3 years ago, students have completed creative projects such as collaborative quilt making and restoring wrecked cars. But a project underway this school year is a first. 17-year-old Ernest Lee Clark decided to produce and record 2 songs, including one he wrote and sings on a new CD.
Ever since you left, I've been trying to spend this time on my hands. Should I go out? Should I stay in? I can't talk to you. Won't know where to begin.
That song, Between a Rock and a Heartache, and another tune, a cover of Buddy Holly's Crying, Waiting, Hoping, are on a CD titled Phase One. Ernest Clark formed the musical group called Permanent Vacation using members of his high school marching band.
And it was just something that I felt was real natural to do. It's something that I'd always wanted to do. So I thought this would be the perfect time to jump in and go right to it.
But Ernie says he jumped into more work than he bargained for.
It was a lot more than I thought it was going to be. It was a lot of hard work. We started our rehearsals in September. And we started playing gigs and stuff like that in September. And then about January, we got to where we were comfortable and we were ready to go in the studio. So we went into the studio and we cut our track. And then we went back in February and finished it up.
The CD has been sent to area radio stations where it's getting airtime. You might be getting the impression that the Senior Project at South Laurel is a fun and easy way to meet graduation requirements. But it's a lot more than you might think. After all, it is part of an English course. Rhoda Steele is Ernie's teacher.
The 4 components of the Senior Project are a research paper, which is a 5-page, double-spaced research paper with 4 sources, one of those being a personal interview, at least one of them. The second component of the Senior Project is the actual physical project itself, which in Ernie's case, we know that he did a CD, produced it in the studio himself. The third component is the portfolio, which includes the research paper and other related items pertaining to the project.
The final component is an 8 to 10 minute presentation of the project, in this case a musical performance, before a panel of faculty members and people from the community. Afterward, panel members will question Ernie about the project. To paraphrase the cover song on his CD, Ernest Lee Clark is certainly not crying, but he is waiting and hoping, hoping that his senior project will be a springboard to a career in country music. Teacher Rhoda Steele says that's the best part of all.
Ernie said in a letter that he wrote to me that probably had it not been for the senior project that he would never have done this, and it was something he had always dreamed of doing. So that thrills me. That's what senior project is all about.
I'm Ron Smith, reporting for the best of our knowledge.
Crying, waiting, hoping.
We would appreciate hearing your thoughts and suggestions for the show. Our email address is knowledge@wamc.org. Again, you can email us at knowledge@wamc.org.
Our research story this week takes us to Temple University in Philadelphia. Their electrical engineering department has received a National Science Foundation grant for focused tutoring. Co-host Glenn Busby spoke with Temple electrical engineering professor Brian Butts.
Computer tutorials is nothing new, but now with the NSF grant, Temple electrical engineers are working on software that allows computers to actually learn back from the students. Professor Brian Butts calls it the expert system.
The expert system is a form of artificial intelligence. And what the expert system will be is a set of rules that will look at a student's answer and say, if the student did this and did this and did that, then the student knows this. And there'll be rules like that, that if the student has done this but did not do this, then the student does not know this. And it will try to really replicate an instructor sitting in a room with a student, and the student perhaps answering questions and working things out on a blackboard. And the instructor's looking at the results and thinking, well, he or she knows how to do this, but he or she doesn't know how to do that. And what I've got to do is show them how to do this. And that's how it works. It's a set of these rules. And the rules come from instructors, essentially. How would a human evaluate what is going on? And you try to replicate that in code.
The obvious advantage being individualized instruction, or this idea of focused tutoring.
I think so. And the other thing that we're going to implement is students learn differently. Each of them can learn in different ways. Some students like a lecture. Some students like to learn things on their own experimentally. And what we're going to attempt, and I think we'll succeed, is to put different learning mechanisms in there. So a student is exposed to different ways of learning, and we're going to try to measure which way that particular student learns best, and then orient the presentation in that vein. So the expert system, the intelligent tutoring system, will get to know each student that uses it. And the series of instruction for each student will then be a little different depending on the student's ability, their knowledge, and the way that they like to learn.
Researchers intend to broaden the scope of the expert interactive intelligent tutoring system to include many varied subjects.
The reviewers at NSF were quite excited about this, because what we're going to try to do is to come up with a framework here that you can put in any learning material. We're designing it here for engineering students, specifically electrical engineering students. But I have an interdisciplinary advisory committee from all over the university, from the music school and from the Allied Health School and the Communications School, and I'm going to add people from outside the university and start another advisory committee that has industrial people on it. And they're going to advise us how to do this from their points of view. So I'm pretty excited, and it should be really interdisciplinary when it's done, and it could act as a framework for how to do it from many, many areas.
Of course, it could have, I guess, huge ramifications if it could be applied to a lot of other areas, huh?
I think it could. Now, I don't think that in 2 years, which is the life of the grant, that this problem is going to be solved at all. I think what we'll be able to do is really have a feeling and have a small prototype, and with work by me and I think by many others in the field, I can imagine the day where intelligent tutoring systems can really help in the area of remedial work, things that students have difficulty with, things that they're taking in their university courses or their high school courses or their grade school courses that they need extra work and they need extra explanation with. And it should be available on their PCs, and they'll be able to sit and hopefully learn from it.
And our conversation closed with Butt stressing that people should not feel threatened by artificial intelligence. He says it's not much different from filling out your tax forms on a computer. Temple Electrical Engineering Professor Brian Butts.
There are many different things you can do with zucchini. There's zucchini bread and soup, and now the Zucchini Brothers. The Zucchini Brothers is a songwriting trio of certified teachers who travel the Northeast conducting workshops and concerts at elementary schools. Linda Anderson reports on the musical educators.
Zucchini, that's what we are, zucchini.
Sam, Jack, and Steve Zucchini, to be exact. And though they say they're brothers, with a Cabbage Patch dad and Summer Squash mom, they don't really look like brothers, or sisters, for that matter. Actually, as Jack, who plays guitar, tells it, the group came together while in college in Plattsburgh, New York. Jack was student teaching, and Steve, who plays keyboards, had just finished his master's in education.
At some point, Jack said to me, hey, I've written some songs for kids, you want to hear them? And I said, yeah, great. And also at that time, we happened to do a concert at a local school, and it was for kids, and we went over well enough that we just kept going.
Eventually, Sam, who plays drums, joined them, and the Zucchini Brothers were born, or harvested, whichever the case may be. Melding their interest in teaching with their love for music, Jack says the trio has cultivated a band that sends positive messages to their predominantly, but not exclusively, young audience.
Music makes it so everybody, it's like a glass of milk or orange juice, whatever you wash down your peas with, you know, because sometimes the kids don't like the vegetables. So we coat it with this really nice music. And the messages, though, are very positive, like you said, and we're always trying to say something. Or lots of times what we have to say is important and we feel it's a message that kids need to hear. Lots of times what we maybe are saying, it's you shouldn't be doing this or you should be doing that, but the way we say it, kids never hear that, so they kind of dig it for that reason.
Songs like You Are What You Eat, Clean Your Room, and Share.
share? Sure.
Share.
The Zucchinis, who live in Saratoga Springs, New York, play their music at festivals, theaters, and schools throughout the Northeast. In the school setting, they perform at assemblies or, depending on what the school wants, combine the assemblies with songwriting workshops.
We go in to classrooms or smaller settings and we brainstorm about an idea or a topic that they have, and we come up with ideas and then we set them to music with the kids, and it's really a great experience for them because in about 45, 50 minutes, they're coming out with something that they feel they have ownership in, and it really can... And for a lot of them, it's their first songwriting experience.
We have a whole group of songs that we take from, songs from our past, songs that we played when we were playing in those rock and roll bands, and we find that they're very catchy. Lots of times now you'll hear them in advertisements on TV. The kids are familiar with them because maybe mom and dad are playing them at home too. And so, like Steve said, we go in and we record these songs with the kids. But the reason that all happened, too, is kind of neat, is because everybody does this. You hear a song on the radio or something, and then you make up your own words to it. And all the kids do that at home. We've all done this growing up.
Kids have come up with some amazingly wacky songs. For example, Jack says, in one class, kids created a song about Christopher Columbus and set it to the theme song for Gilligan's Island. He says the Zucchinis will pick a subject that the kids are studying, like Christopher Columbus, in social studies or science, and incorporate that with the music. Sam says it's a serious fun process.
We brainstorm with the kids. We talk to them about the process. We lay it out, right, and we go through the brainstorming. Then we start to put things together and to make a song, to show them that this is not something that's out of reach. It's something that if you put your head to it and you have a will, you'll find a way.
Of course, when Sam, Steve, and Jack walk into a classroom for the first time, they may be met by strange looks. Dressed in their goofy balloon pants, that is, pants with balloons painted all over, not baggy pants, they look a bit weird, so kids and teachers probably wonder what's going to happen.
We've learned a lot of things over the year on how to, you know, we have a whole pre-visit package that goes to a school so the teachers understand our credentials and the kids know where we're coming from and they understand what's going to be in there that day. But when it started off, we would come into a classroom to do a workshop and the teacher would just leave, you know, and we would be like, what? You know, they're like, well, this is break time or something like that. I'm not speaking for teachers across America, but maybe, you know, some of these teachers were like that. The best workshops are those with the teachers that are most enthusiastic and want to have fun. And, you know, you think about it, when you took a class from the learning, you got into learning when the teacher was into it. So that's what we're trying to do, you know.
By the end of the class, the Zucchinis and students will have a unique curriculum-related song, written, sung, and recorded all in about 45 minutes.
Responsibility is good for you and me.
Come on, everybody.
Responsibility is a healthy way.
The day culminates with an enthusiastic assembly, highlighting the student-written songs, and in the evening, possibly a concert where parents are invited to hear their children's music. The Zucchini brothers believe nothing beats live interaction with music, and these workshops provide just that. Plus, they're educational and fun. For the best of our knowledge, I'm Linda Anderson.
You have to feed your back, better bring it to the back, and don't forget. And it's all because responsibility is good for you and me.
That wraps up today's show and our 400th edition. Thanks for joining us.
If you have questions or comments, you can write The Best of Our Knowledge at P.O. Box 66600, Albany, New York, 12206.
If you would like to purchase a cassette copy of this program, please call 1-800-323-9262 and ask for The Best of Our Knowledge, show number 400.
Thanks for listening. I'm Judy Genshaft.
And I'm Glenn Busby. Join us next week for another edition of The Best of Our Knowledge.
J. Judy Genshaft is Provost and Vice President for Academic Affairs for the University at Albany. Glenn Busby is producer of The Best of Our Knowledge. Alan Chartok is executive producer. Production funding for The Best of Our Knowledge comes from the University at Albany Foundation. The University at Albany, marking more than 150 years of public higher education, research, and service. Support for our segments on educational research comes from the Spencer Foundation. This program is a presentation of National Productions, which is solely responsible for its content.
This is Judy Genshaft.
And I'm Glenn Busby. Next time on The Best of Our Knowledge, we look at Champlain's Business Boot Camp.
Rural Kentucky has an unusual senior project program.
We'll check out focused tutoring at Temple University.
And the Zucchini Brothers in elementary education.
All this coming up on the next edition of The Best of Our Knowledge.